Welcome to the Yoga Therapy Hour. Today we have a guest that is so fascinating. Her name is Ella DeVar, and she is a nutritionist, but she's a longevity nutritionist, which is a whole thing that she goes into and describes. And I think that's such an interesting concept because it's so aligned with yoga and Ayurveda. And even how she has positioned herself in the market, which she's saying is kind of outside of inpatient healthcare, meaning in the hospital, she's kind of alongside of that. I think it's actually an interesting model for business for a lot of yoga teachers and yoga therapists to be in outpatient care as a longevity specialist. So over and above the wonderful information she's giving us about the gut-brain axis, about the vagus nerve, about gut microbiome, all of which we go into great detail about, I think at the very beginning, some of you might find this a really fascinating case study on positioning yourself in the marketplace to be able to help people and be of service. And I think what she's doing is very, very much aligned with how we as yoga teachers and yoga therapists could position ourselves. The other thing that Ella talks about is how much yoga and breathing and meditation and visualization help the gut function better. And as we know, the microbiome in the gut, which she goes into great detail to describe to all of us in a very simple way, that impacts our mental health, our physical health, our emotional health, even our spiritual health. So I think you're going to find this discussion super fascinating on many levels. And I'm so happy to introduce you to Ella. Welcome to the Yoga Therapy Hour podcast. We're so happy that you're on this journey with us, and we'd like to invite you to a few other activities. Number one, we have a Monday night yoga therapy clinic, and each month we choose a different topic. It's a deep time together, both professionally and personally, and we do offer CE units. So come join us on Monday nights if you will. We'll see you there, and until then, let's get into our podcast. Hello, Ella. So nice to meet you. Thank you for being here.
Hello, and thank you so much for having me.
Where are you located, Ella?
Miami Beach, Florida.
Oh my goodness. Wow. I'm in Minnesota and we're just starting to get winter coming. So I need Miami.
Love Minnesota people. Recently met a very interesting individual and she was like very hardcore. We're from Minnesota. We're the type of people that are real and raw. And I'm like, whoa, we need that energy in Florida.
It's true. We're like Viking people.
Yes. That's what I got.
Messing around. Oh, so I was so interested to learn about you. I sent you a few questions and we're just meeting for the first time, but two things that I found interesting about you. Number one, you said you're a longevity nutritionist. So I want to talk about that. And then the second thing, you know, all about these new research findings on the neuropsychiatric disorders and how the vagus nerve is connected to the brain-gut axis and all those implications. So I think that's kind of what we're going to talk about today, right?
Amazing. Yes, let's do it.
All right. So let's start off with longevity nutritionist. Is that a new thing or is that something you came up with? Because that's a really cool way to look at nutrition, I think.
Thank you. I guess I came up with it, but not really. So I've been in this industry for almost like more than a decade. I became a health coach around 12 years ago when I transitioned from Wall Street. I became a yoga instructor and then a health coach. I worked in clinical settings in hospitals. And then I went full ahead and got my master's degree in clinical nutrition and got my medical degree and residency in hospitals. That was around 6 years ago. And since then, I never wanted to work in hospitals. Because of my health coaching career, I've always focused on what's called outpatient, you know, people who are outside of the hospitals. You know, they only come to the hospitals to check in, to fix something and go out. And so With that, my career has always been about lifestyle medicine. That's what's called, right? And when I became a clinical dietitian, I never wanted to work in hospitals. I've always worked with what's called precision medicine, integrative medicine, functional medicine, or what's called longevity clinics these days. And that industry started to pop out when medical experts started to dive more into prevention. Because as you know, most medically trained professionals know nothing about prevention. Same for me. When I did a medical degree in nutrition, they only taught me how to treat cancer, how to treat disease when it's already at disease state, when you're at a negative state. And hospitals, they basically teach you how to get to neutral state, how to get to zero, basically from negative to zero, and just like manage the symptoms, manage the disease, and how to make it better. But what we're focusing is from zero to plus, right? From the positive state, how to get so positive that the immune system is strong, your metabolism is strong, so you don't even get to zero. You're at your optimal peak state. That's where longevity is, right? That's where people live longer, healthy, and not just longer, because look, there's medication now and all types of, I don't know, like things that help us to live longer. But what we're focusing on is what's called a health span, right? Living healthier longer, that you're at your 100 and you're not in a wheelchair. You're actually taking care of your great grandkids, right? And that's what longevity is all about. So that's what I'm really passionate about. And over the years, because I worked with longevity doctors, and my whole mission as a nutritionist and lifestyle coach is to educate people on all this lifestyle related medicine. And with that's sort of how I became a longevity nutritionist, I guess. But it's also like came natural to me that you could say I created it, but yeah, I guess.
It's so interesting. This is a little tangent from your interview, but everything you just said, I could say about a yoga therapist that we have these ones that want to work in hospitals that are more inpatient. But really, where I think a lot of yoga therapists thrive is the outpatient and the longevity lifestyle medicine, if you will. We call it salutogenesis. So, any yoga therapists listening or yoga teachers listening, I think this is such a great model. And to hear that these clinics are popping up, I think that's a great place not only for a longevity nutritionist, but also a longevity yoga therapist. So, thanks for sharing
Absolutely.
that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, tell us, what is the scope of your work? Is it mainly nutrition? Is it also using yoga techniques, or do you hire others to do the yoga part? Like, because I know you're interested in the vagus nerve, and I just want to know how all of it fits together.
So after I became a yoga teacher, I've also became a meditation practitioner and hypnosis and LNLP and theta healing. I love all of those techniques because very often our body and our energy levels and overall condition of our health is a reflection of the stress level in our mindset. So if we believe ourselves to be not worthy or sick, that's what transpires into our body. Or if we're everything stresses out and everything we fear of life and circumstances, that's what creates. And I'm someone who lived through a lot of trauma and healed myself, right? I was diagnosed with inflammatory gut condition when I was 16 years old. I was a young child and I ate very healthy diet because I come from Russia, so all of my food came from gardens, beyond organic. It didn't come from a supermarket. It came from my grandparents' garden. But I lived a very stressful lifestyle because my father was very austere. So all of those emotions that I would keep to myself, they would all affect my digestion and metabolism. So inflammatory conditions are very often related to emotions and stress levels. When you're living in the fight or flight mode, right, when your vagus nerve is overstimulated and your sympathetic nervous system is on the edge and you're not dropping into parasympathetic nervous system with rest and digest, that's what happens. And so over the years, after I healed myself and my clients, I've developed what's called gut-brain method. And in my method, it's an online signature program. It's a course that anyone can take to become a gut health expert, but I also work one-on-one. That's a VIP program as well. So there's two types. One is online coaching, another one is one-on-one. And in that program, there's a lot of nutrition and longevity science of the lifestyle, of the things we should be doing to optimize our gut microbiome, to optimize our metabolism. But the other half of it are all meditation-based inner child healing and theta healing, sleep optimization, and all of the different breath works and meditations that are designed to optimize the vagus nerve, to tone the vagus nerve, and to create more balance. Because let's face it, if you're someone who is a high achiever and you have a busy lifestyle, you have children, stress is inevitable. It's a normal part of life, right? And most people, when you tell them, like, you don't have stress, they're like, look at you, like, what are you doing with your life? You don't have stress? Are you getting ahead in life or just getting by, you know? So it's our job to learn how to manage it. And that's why I developed the gut-brain method.
Are people surprised when you say that you could eat a completely healthy organic nutrition program from your grandparents' garden, and yet if you're under a lot of stress, you could have things like IBS or Crohn's or a number of other, your gut microbiome could be really unhappy and therefore causing you to be ill?
Now, a lot of people talk about genetics, so it's not really surprising. A lot of people are just like saying, oh, it's genetics, right? I developed it because my grandparents had Crohn's, right? But it really depends. Genetics is not all. So when I left my parents' house as a very young girl, I literally stopped having inflammatory conditions. As I said, love healed me. You know, because I got married very early and I left my parents' house. I moved to the United States and I had like this huge pharmacy box with me. Like, this is after food. This is before food. This is how I managed my digestion at 18 years old. And then when I left my parents' house and I suddenly was thriving emotionally and I felt safe, I never used it. And I literally got rid of that whole pharmacy box because everything got expired years later. And I was like, oh, forgot I needed that.
Wow. I mean, I truly believe this. And I think Ayurveda also says this, that our emotions and feeling peaceful, feeling safe, feeling content and happy, it actually changes your physiology and specifically your gut microbiome. So can we just define what gut microbiome is? Because some of our listeners may not even know that.
Yeah, let's talk about it. So every time we eat something, we take a bite of our favorite piece of cake or whatever that is, strawberry or celery. The food that we put in our mouth, it has the potential to affect what's going on in our gut. And by the time it gets to our gut, it goes through the chewing mastication process. Our stomach acid breaks it down. So it's no longer food. It's more of a chime. That's what's called chime. And you know, you've heard the saying, you are what you eat. It's actually true. However, there's a lot of processes that go on inside of our intestines to create that and use those foods as a building block. So inside our intestines, after it passes the stomach, the food, and you know, our intestines is very long. The small intestine and then the large intestine around it, the food actually stays there for up to 24 hours. So, from the moment you take a bite of your favorite food until you see it in the toilet bowl, most people don't think what happens in between. And most of us take it for granted what happens to it. But in reality, this is the root cause. And I like to use this metaphor. So our body is like a donut. It's like a long donut. And our gut, it's like us, but inside. So we're facing the food. Like when the food comes through us, it comes here and it comes out there, but it passes through us, you know, in a very long process. But while it does that, it gets broken down and key here, it gets fermented because it stays within us for up to 24 hours. Sometimes if people are constipated, it stays longer. Guess what happens? All of that food, not only it gets breaks down, it gets fermented because it stayed there. And there's all these bacterias and these live organisms that live within us that help us or create problems. Help us to break down the nutrients, help us to create immune cells, to help us to build building blocks of proteins, fats for other organs. Once it gets absorbed from the gut, thanks to gut microbiome bacteria, it gets into the blood, it gets into the heart, the liver, and everything else, right? But it starts out, that's why as a longevity dietitian, I specialize in gut health, because this is a root cause. If your gut is not doing its job properly, everything else is going to suffer. But this is where it all begins, like the inflammation, the indigestion, malabsorption, and some of the infections, they all start there. And when it comes to gut microbiome, it's really something that's bacteria. It's a total makeup of the bacteria inside of our gut. And there's two types, basically, to simplify. There's bad and good bacteria. And depending on what we eat, right, the balance always changes. If we eat a lot of vegetables, the good bacteria love the fiber, the vegetables, so it thrives on all the fiber. But if we eat a lot of sugar, if we eat things like caffeine, alcohol, yeast containing foods, preservatives containing all the chemicals contained, plus stress on top of it, that's when pathogenic bacteria are thriving and the good ones are not. So the balance really depends, like when I started this whole talk, is like depending on what we eat, it has the potential to change what's going on inside of. And our gut microbiome is responsible to, now they say so many, mental health, mood, hormones, detoxification, and immunity and digestion, obviously.
So a couple questions. Would we actually see a change in, say, our white blood cell count as a result of the gut microbiome, the good ones kind of thriving? Would it be that linear that you could see it increasing?
Say it again, please.
If someone were to eat a really great diet and their good bacteria were thriving, could you actually see a test result where like white blood cell count would go up?
Yes. So what goes up is, yes, when the gut microbiome, when there's a bacteria that's diversified and there's a variety of different foods, yes, the immunity goes up. And that's why a lot of people who eat healthy and they come to me and they're still struggling, because there's a lot of things in the gut. There's five different things. And gut microbiome is just one of them. And the microbes in the diversity of different microbes is essential part of optimal immunity, up to 80% of immune cells, and not just white blood cells. There's T cells, killer cells, macrophages. It's hard to pronounce those, but I know them. There's five different types of immune cells that are originated from the gut.
Right. All right. So second question then is, when people are practicing yoga or meditation or visualization, do we have research to show that that actually improves the good bacteria in the gut?
So what it does is it activates the vagal nerve with stimulating it and optimizing the rest and digest mode. Right. And when our body is in the rest and digest mode, it's able to prioritize functions related to digestion, things like enzymatic sufficiency, things like absorption rates of nutrients. Right. That alone is hugely beneficial. When it comes to the microbes itself, yes, stress is definitely a factor, because if we're not dropping into rest and digest, that means we're in a fight or flight. And we are in the fight or flight, we're not digesting, we're not absorbing. The blood circulation is just not directed in that area of your body, right? So that is scientifically definitely proven. But just in terms of like the microbes itself, there aren't many that are specifically related to emotions, but to the more of a, like I said, the blood circulation and digestion optimization.
And just to be clear for our listeners, that's because when we're in fight or flight, the blood flow circulation goes out to the limbs. Do you want to talk a bit about that?
Because into the limbs away from the digestion. That's why one of the cheapest and easiest things you could do to optimize your gut health, and there's three different things that I recommend. When I see people that I diagnose them with enzymatic insufficiency, there's three ways. Yes, you can take enzymes. Yes, you can take like some bitter, some natural remedies such as Swedish bitters, but the cheapest and easiest way, I actually stopped my TED talk. I did a TED talk and I stopped it and said, here's how you can learn what the gut-brain method is. So I guide three breaths before each meal. I say absolutely everyone can do this before you sit down. And I work with high profile, high performing people like from New York, from Miami, and everyone's got no time for anything. I said, you've got time for three breaths before each meal. And so focusing on those long exhales, and just three of them. And if you have a meal in front of you, people will notice how they start salivating by just taking three deep breaths. And then suddenly they know, like, oh my God, yes, my digestion is working just because I gave it a chance, just because I took responsibility for my digestion, right? Not just like throwing things. That's why, a lot of people, like business people, they go out to dinners to do business. And that's the worst thing to do, to have a business conversation over a meal, because you are in fight or flight and you're just pushing it down your throat, right? So in reality, what we could do is like, I teach them take three deep breaths and separate the meal intake with stressful conversations and anything related to thinking. And ideally, you allocate 10 minutes of eating only to mindful intake of nutrients and digestion. Very often people notice they eat less. They don't even need that much food that they thought they needed, or they see how they feel better. Like I've worked with CEOs, we would clean up their diet, we would create an optimal nutrient intake with supplements, right? And at the end of my program, they would tell me, you know what? It's the breath work that helped me with bloating. And I'm like, really? After all, like that's what they really feel, that they're doing something really, really good for themselves. Mindfully, because swallowing a supplement is easy and you're still like, ah, I don't know if it's helping. But when you're actually taking 10 seconds to take care of yourself, and that's, I feel like, my job to sprinkle that wisdom into, the minds that those people don't do yoga, but they're like out there saving the world.
So the theory is that those three long, slow breaths in 10 seconds could have an impact on the vagus nerve and just put their nervous system into kind of the rest and digest mode.
Exactly.
That's amazing to think that it can happen that fast, actually.
The key here are those long exhale, and I always coach them. Each exhale is longer than the one before.
Yeah. That's amazing. Did you know that we have a Patreon community? This community helps to support the Optimal State and the Yoga Therapy Hour production. It's not cheap to bring these episodes to you every single week, and we hope that you'll support us in giving you this great content every week. So head over to Patreon, and as you'll see, there are different tiers, but my favorite tier is the one that delivers Yoga Nidra to you on a regular basis, where you can just tune in on Patreon and download the yoga nidras that will help you sleep better, have less pain, manage your anxiety, help you come out of depression and burnout. So many great gifts on our Patreon page, and we'd love to have you join us over there. Thank you for your support. We really appreciate you. So let's talk a little bit about the vagus nerve, because I think a lot of our listeners, they're vagus nerve crazy. We all love it. And can you tell us a little bit about which digestive organs it's innervating? If maybe that's too hard of a question just off the top of your head, but what is it about the vagus nerve that has such a strong effect on the digestive system?
Well, vagus nerve is the connection between the gut-brain axis, right? It's a bi-directional conversation between, what's called our brain and what's called second brain. I'm sure you've heard people saying that our gut is our second brain. And the vagus nerve is the stimulus, the switch between the two, right? And the tone of it, you can stimulate the nerve just like you stimulate muscles and make it more toned, make it more strong. And breath work is, like I said, all the neuroscientists now are recommending breath is the easiest tool to control your emotions. And like when you get emotional, your breath gets shallow. And when anxiety kicks in, that's when we are out of breath. It's the easiest tool and what we can control over to control our emotions, and what science now is showing to control our biological responses of our body.
Okay, I'm asking a lot of hard questions, Ella. So if this is too much, we can edit it out. But how does it relate to the phrenic nerve? Because I've heard the phrenic nerve is also very important in this process.
Maybe you can tell me.
Okay. That's it. Nobody seems to know. I guess the phrenic nerve innervates the gut also. but very few people have a lot of information about it. So that's, I was wondering, I have trouble getting the answer to that from
Really?
people. It seems like it's something that maybe is kind of new and emerging. And
Yeah.
all right. So what else do you want to tell us about the vagus nerve and the brain gut axis?
What I could tell you is a few things. It's a multifactorial issue. When we talk about gut health, healthy eating is just one part of it. So when I test, my gut-brain method is based on comprehensive testing. We test five different factors of optimal gut health. And because I specialize with younger and more educated population group, most of my clients don't have inflammation. You know, inflammation is, they call it anti-aging. It's like what's causing the disease. Most of my clients are like models, CEOs, like high-profile people. They all know about healthy eating, right? So they come to me because they still feel they're spinning their wheels. And what we test is also enzymes and digestion. So a lot of people take it for granted and they think like, I'm just taking all this incredible foods and I'm investing so much money into organic foods. And my digestion is supposed to be doing its job, right? I'm putting all these protein shakes and all the supplements, and it's better be absorbed. But very often, what we find out that there's some enzymes that are missing for them to even break down the nutrients, right? So we test for that. In addition, we test for the inflammation of the actual organ, and that's important. And that's what healthy eating does, you know, antioxidants, omega-3s, all the healthy things that we probably know about, the probiotics. And then we also test for infections. So that's something that not a lot of people know about or have access to. We test for parasitic infections, parasites, yeast, fungi. And the overgrowth of those, that's called pathogenic bacteria, very often is related to mood swings and mood disorders and mental health issues. And most people with anxiety and depression have low levels of serotonin. And serotonin is a neurotransmitter originated from the gut, which is strongly associated with dysbiosis. And dysbiosis is an imbalance of bacteria in the gut. So when we have an overgrowth of bad guys and not enough of good guys.
I think that's so fascinating because most people who have anxiety or depression, they're not looking to their gut for the answers. They're looking somewhere else. They're looking for mental health counseling. So that's fascinating. And then the second thing that I really got interested in when I heard you talking is people who have been carrying a little excess weight. They may be trying so hard to count those calories and eat the right macronutrients, but it may be a totally different problem. It could be fungi. It could be, a lot of the things you just mentioned. And so, do you think that's why the diet industry is having such poor effects? Because maybe we're counting calories when really there's a serious medical problem we need to address in the gut.
So number one, what you mentioned about mental health, I wanted to point out, but now there's a emerging what's called nutritional psychiatry out of Harvard. One of my colleagues, she's a psychiatrist, but she's basically doing my job as a dietitian because she talks about food. You know, she talks about exactly the same foods that I covered in my TED talk. It's probiotics, leafy green vegetables, a lot of berries, a lot of omega-3s, spices, nutrients, hydration, proteins intakes. All of those things have the potential to change the way we feel. And to answer your second question about what I feel, what it's about, it's education. Is that the diet culture is more of like from the 90s, you know, from the before. Now, more and more people realize that what it's really about, and that's what I called my second book. It's called The U-tarian. It's about learning about yourself. So I've wasted so many years in my 20s following every diet, thinking that there's someone out there that knows something about me that I don't know. And it took me years and my medical degree, and I trademarked this title to show, and that's what I teach my clients, that the truth is actually within you. So don't be pescatarian, flexitarian, vegetarian, be a utarian. Instead of investing time, energy, and money into like what other people are doing, you know, it's very often like, I heard that, I read that. It's like somewhere out there. In reality, I start to get answers from within. It's no longer what everyone else is doing. It's like, I am getting answers from my own body. This is what my body is telling me. And I have an honor to serve as someone who interprets the results, right? I do a lot of testing and I show my clients, this is what your body is telling us. Your body knows better than you and I, you know? And I'm just helping you to connect to you with your own body. And I think this is how, as a dietitian, there's a lot of wars out there on diets. Like even in the longevity industry, I don't know if you know about it, all these top leading doctors, they all disagree with each other. Some people are still promoting vegan diet for longevity, and others now are all about high protein diet for longevity, which is complete opposite of like each other, right? They're both into longevity, both trying to help people, recommending complete opposite, zero animal protein, high protein intake. And I'm somewhere in the middle as a dietitian where my thing is, why don't we test and find out your levels and find out what works for you? And in reality, you no longer care what's everyone else doing. You don't need to point fingers. You do that. I can't believe you do that. You shouldn't do that. You know, like don't tell other people. Just praise everyone's like, you're doing that. Good for you. I'm doing this and I'm thriving. And together we're at peace. And that's what I preach.
So, are you saying those five areas that you're testing for would help someone figure out for their specific genetics and lifestyle and age what is best for them?
Yeah, so there's a gut health test that tests for five different things inside your gut to optimize it. And then outside of it, there's different tests, like you said, there's genetics, there's food sensitivities, food intolerances that most people don't know that they have symptoms to those. They just call them life, you know, like acid reflux, skin issues, low energy, fatigue after eating, or burping, or feeling gas, like having mucus or snoring. All of those symptoms are affected, are triggered by food sensitivities and intolerance. But because they're not tested by doctors, some people live their whole life with acid reflux or constipation, you know, and they just call it life. So we find out and we learn what triggers your body, what triggers immune system. But because it's not allergy, it's not an immediate response, doctors don't test it. And they just give you like, just take this over the counter and just like take it for the rest of your life, you know? So we treat that and that's what we help people to bring them to optimized state when they don't have those nagging symptoms, when they don't feel like they're spinning their wheels, you know, that they're totally healthy and they know exactly. For example, I'm someone who's intolerant to dairy, right? I know how it triggers me. So I don't eat dairy most of the times. My house is all like plant-based milk, goat's dairy, goat's milk. But when I go out, sometimes I eat it and I know what happens to me. So I come home and I take an enzyme for dairy. That's it, you know, or I suffer for a little bit because it's lingering effect for a few days, right? But I don't eat more of it, right? So I know I'm totally responsible for that. But some people don't. They live their whole life and can't understand. They buy all these creams online, like, oh, what's wrong with my skin? Nothing's wrong with that. You just don't tolerate dairy very much. And once you eliminate it, your skin is glowing and healthy. And once you eat it once in a while, you see a little bit effect and then don't, you know? So it gives you this power on knowing exactly what's right for you and how to manage it, you know, how to continue living life to the fullest.
And so, do you find that people will change at different seasons of the years, you know, like spring versus fall or summer versus winter? And also, will we change throughout life? So, before menopause versus after menopause, do you have to keep getting tested, I guess, is my question.
Absolutely. Like seasonality is one of the things that really what it depends on. It could depend on you, but it's also dependent on your environment, right? And we shouldn't be eating chicken breast and broccoli all year round. That's just not right. That's not how it's designed in nature. And same thing with different seasons of your body, right? Whether you're a teenager, adult, or after the menopause. Your metabolism and your hormones are changing, and therefore your nutrient intake and your needs should be changing as well. And I think it's one of the greatest investments that you could do to invest into getting to know your own body.
That's what you mean by precision medicine, right?
Yes.
And do you think precision medicine is the future? Because it seems to me that anything less than precision medicine is, have a swear word here, a crapshoot. Like you're just kind of trying something on to see if it works for you, and it may or may not. And that's why people go through 18 different diets or nutrition plans trying to figure out what's going to work.
Yes, precision medicine is what's called of N of one, right? So usually when we have all this generic advice, it's like for general population group. Oh, someone's gonna benefit from this. But more and more people are realizing, like, no, it doesn't work. It works for some people, a keto diet, it works for some people, it doesn't work for me. Like more and more people are figuring out what works for them. Like the number of this experiment is one. If experiment of one person, right? And that's what precision is, and that's what a lot of doctors right now, it's only accessible to those with high income that they could hire a doctor to experiment for them only. Someone like you've heard of Brian Johnson, he became very popular because he's very wealthy and he hired a team of doctors to monitor him. Then he ended up selling his diet to everyone else, and now I have his followers like, well, it works for him, doesn't work for me. I was like, well, yeah, that's what
And
it is.
one.
Exactly. So yeah, I agree with you. The precision medicine and or like Unitarian diets and Unitarian medicine is the future because we are just getting out of that confusion state with the generic advice that hopefully more and more people realize that in the future, it's all about what works for you and respecting the differences between us.
I guess that is a question I have then. Do you feel like this precision medicine, I'm not just talking about in nutrition, but just in general, it seems like something only wealthy people could afford to do. Do you think that kind of like functional medicine, you know, you're going to drop 3 grand the first day in a functional medicine doctor to figure out your hormones or whatever? Do you feel like that's kind of similar?
Absolutely. And it's even more expensive because functional medicine was still established like something of holistic, you know, versus those doctors who are into precision medicine. They're all like medically trained and they're used to high paycheck. And because usually when doctors are in hospitals or just typical doctor's office, they see a lot of patients a day. That's why they don't have more than 15 minutes or what's called 8 minutes in the hospital per patient, right? So it's a volume base. That's how they're able to make income. But when it cuts down to N of one, the precision, they're really focusing on seeing less patients, but allocating a lot of time. So, like, I spend an hour with each client, like, repeating myself over and over again, you know, like different things that they should be eating, should be avoiding. I really invest a lot of time into creating personalized protocol, right? But I charge already like almost $500 an hour, you know, versus allocating 8 minutes for you, right? So this way, I'm able to provide the precision N of one service to one patient at a time. That's why the price goes up. And but I feel like that's the future. Most of these doctors nowadays are focused on either like podcasting, giving away all the knowledge. That's why I recorded my course instead of like scheduling 1 hour consultation for the same money. You can take a whole course and there's everything I know in the course. So it's like an almost 9 hours worth of information. And I teach others how to do what I do. I give away all my protocols, all the testing, everything. And this way we're creating this ripple effect, you know, for it to be more manageable and accessible to other people. Apps, all these apps or AI. AI is the future of precision medicine.
That's what I wanted. That was my next question, maybe my last question, and then we'll talk about how people can find you. But
Yeah.
is that an aura ring you have on your left
Yeah.
hand?
Yes.
So
Yeah.
the first, let's just briefly review, what are all the technological data that you're receiving from your aura ring, and
Yeah.
could that be part of this whole puzzle?
I've had this for over 4 years, more than 4 years. I'm obsessed. And I usually don't wear it during the day. I don't really need the data during the day. Plus, it's Bluetooth. I only wear it at night, and every year they get better. But it used to be only heart rate variability. So where your heart is dropping from very high, fight or flight, or just functioning, just talking to you, that's my heart working very high. And then when I sleep, especially when we get into deep sleep, when your heart rate goes very slow, you're barely breathing, you're not moving, right? And what's called variability, and that's what I didn't mention it, but like when you are slowing down your breathing, and you start salivating and your heart rate slows down. That's heart rate variability. That's what Oura Ring measures, but in between your wake state and sleep state. It also measures your body temperature. It measures your what's called recovery levels. So how well your body recovered, how long you stayed in those low heart rate beats at night. That means that your body and your brain got the downtime it's needed to operate high during the day, you know? So that's very important to have both. If you didn't have deep sleep, because that's what it measures, the quality of sleep, not just the quantity, right? How long you slept, but the quality. And every morning I wake up and I have two scores. So one's for the sleep score and another one's for what's called recovery score. And literally, I'm very competitive about my scores. I wake up feeling accomplished, as I say, you know,
I got a great sleep score.
yes, I woke up and I'm like, I've done something great already. You know, I just woke up. And it gives me this what's called crowns. If you are over 85, basically, 85 and up. So the total is 100, kind of like the scores. And like today, I got 88 and 90. 88.
Look at you.
Yesterday,
Amazing.
I think it was even higher, like 94. Like if I'm under 85, that's a bad sleep. So I didn't get a crown. That's like B minus, you know? So I don't do that. So
You are competitive.
very, yes. It's actually one of my ex-boyfriend gave it to me 4 years ago, and we were very competitive with each other. And it's a great thing, you know, you're basically competing on how great you feel and how much you're willing to go to bed early, to stop eating before bed, to do all the things to make you feel good the next day. It's a
Yeah.
great thing to compete about.
You know, my brother said to me once that right now we have our phones outside of us, but very soon, like the size of a grain of rice, this phone will be inside of us, giving all of that biometric data. I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want that. I mean, it's kind of even further down than the Oura Ring. But I think when that happens, to your point about AI and technology, we're going to be able to get so much information about ourselves and how we're functioning, which will probably help the cost of precision medicine to come down, I would think.
Absolutely. Yeah, it'd be much easier. Like even now, I host these dinners with Brian Johnson and we talk about AI and he talks about these algorithms in the future that's going to know what's best for you. So,
Yeah.
and now for now, we're just asking questions. Are you willing to follow what you're going to be told if you want to have the best spiritual, physical, and mental health? So right now it's just a conversation, but very often it's going to be our reality, I feel like.
Within, I mean, I'm hearing 3 to 5 years. Like
Wow.
it's going to happen that quickly. So, oof. All right. Well, Ella, where can people find you? Do you have a website? How can
Yes.
they get in touch with you if they're interested in your work?
My website is gutbrainmethod.com. That's where you can learn about my online course. If you want to become what's called a gut health expert, but it's basically for everyone. That's a lot of information what I just covered, but more in depth on how to do it and what to do. But yeah, on the top, you see the gut brain method. The first thing, no, on a little bit to the right, the gut brain method. That's the online course. It's very reasonably priced, and you get, like I said, nine different modules with the video recordings, audio recordings on how to guide these meditations for your clients that are coming for gut health and metabolism optimization. But I guide meditations for them. It's all about advanced detox and hormones and how to do it and different testing that I do. And also myself, I still work one-on-one with clients. Work with me, yeah, the private clients. That's where you can schedule one-on-one consultation to go over the special testing that I do. There's four different tests that I do. And that doesn't include genetics, because the genetic is number five. And then I also host longevity dinners, but right now those are ultra exclusive. That's just in Switzerland and in Miami. Yeah, those are the dinners that I do.
So, like somebody hires you to come over and
No,
create.
nobody hires me. I do everything myself. I create experiences and I invite people, invitation only. So what I've started is what's called Global Longevity Association. It's a membership-focused community where I gather people from different industries like wellness, yoga, business, media, investment, hospitality, for them to be part of the longevity community. Right, because longevity is for all of us come together. So I gather everyone around the dinner table that I create, I design, I curate the conversation about how we can bring this longevity lifestyle for everyone into the masses, into the media, into investing. So we have investors who want to invest, or people who are just tapping into, like I said, health coaches and yoga, right? So how do they become part of it? So it's globallongevityassociation.com to become a member. And with that, get invited to monthly calls where I interview top professionals in the longevity industry on how they can grow and expand and give away their knowledge to people who are just becoming part of the industry.
Wow, you are a mover and a shaker. I can tell that you have a lot of life force, a lot of prana
Yeah.
moving through you, and you're doing such amazing work in the world. And thank you for that, putting your life force towards something really good. I appreciate you being here today.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for having me. It was an honor to be part of your community.
Thank you. Thank you, Ella DeVar, for being with us today. It was so nice to meet you, Ella. And for all of you listening, I hope you really took to heart what Ella had said about the quality of the food is so important to building our microbiome, which is then going to impact our mental health as well as our physical health. But I think what I really took out of this was how much our emotions are actually impacting our gut microbiome. And, you know, that loop that she talked about that our emotions and our stress level are impacting the data that goes up and down our vagus nerve between our gut and our brain. And then that impacts this rest and digest response. I think we don't give ourselves enough credit as yoga teachers and yoga therapists and just regular people, in fact, that stress management and management of our emotions has such an important impact on how we digest our food, how bloated we are, you know, basically how our digestion process and our gut microbiome are being impacted so heavily by this emotional response and stress response. So I really love that part of our talk with Ella, and I hope you did too. And so as we go forward into the week, let's really look at what we're putting in our bodies, giving it fresh, local, healthy food, organic if you can find it. But also, what are you putting into your body in terms of the news, in terms of the friendships and the people that you're hanging out with, in terms of taking time to rest and digest throughout the day, stopping for 10 minutes and having that cup of tea, you know, really taking care of ourselves on a mental, emotional, and stress level so that we really do give our digestion, both physical digestion, but also mental, emotional, and spiritual digestion, a chance to thrive. All right, everybody, thanks for listening, and I hope you have a great week. We'll talk soon. Thank you for listening to the Yoga Therapy Hour podcast. After several years of beta testing, we are finally ready to build a community around a mobile app, the Optimal State app on Android Store and in the iPhone Store. On this app, we're going to start hosting classes, regular meditation circles, and really start to build a community of yoga teachers, yoga therapists, Ayurvedic practitioners, and healthcare practitioners that want to come together on a regular basis and have a community that is empathetic and compassionate and kind and full of goodness that wants to grow spiritually together. So come on over to the app. You can download it now, try it for a month for free, and we'll be having regular community online offerings through the app, and we would love to see you over there. All right, we'll see you soon. A special thank you to our team here at Optimal State. We are truly a global family. George Mantuan, one of our executive producers. Adam Satchel, senior media producer and sound engineer from the Philippines.
Krishna Panchal, a producer from Canada. Modupe Abdullahi, who does the show notes and is an editor for us from Nigeria. And Peter Morley, who wrote and produced the music for this show, who lives in Australia. Find more about Peter's work at www.zenmusic.biz. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.